it's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. What a roller coaster of a week. From losing to the Hornets to coming back and taking down the Magic in a double overtime game. And now everything is breaking, folks. From Jake Fisher to Woj to Shams. Moves will be made and players are being made available. Not just the normals, not just Pascal Siakam, not just the names. And by the way, Sean Woodley at 11 a.m. from Locked On Raptors to talk Kings Raptors. That's at 11 a.m. Not going to want to miss that. But not only are we hearing the normal names, we're also hearing the Kings names. Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter have been made available. The Kings are making calls. The Kings are taking calls. Chris Watkins, yeah. How are you doing?
Great. Yeah, it definitely feels like trade season is officially kicking off now. I mean, with the OG move, it always takes somebody to kind of break the seal. And then once the seal is broken, feels like the floodgates open. And It feels like with all of these swelling of rumors happening out of nowhere, feels like, yeah, we're going to get some real action, I think, this deadline. You know, last year was a lot talked about. Oh, you know, people thought the OG move was going to happen a year ago. The Pascal deal was going to happen a year ago. Not much really happened, especially here on the Kings front. Like, they brought in Kessler Edwards. This year, it actually feels like something's going to happen. With so many teams kind of juggling and jostling for position, it feels like moves are going to be made. And really, at this point, it's just, do the Kings have the assets? And that's really the thing that we've been talking about. But at the end of the day, this thing is going to come down to, can the Kings present the best offer? Because I do think there's going to be a lot of teams who are out there making competing offers.
Yeah, and Jake Fisher was on with the Drive guys yesterday, so we have that sound we will get into throughout the show, just basically talking about the different packages that the Kings could come up with and who they could maybe do some wheeling and dealing with. So we have all that for you. Sam Amick from The Athletic as well was on the morning show and spoke with them about possible trades and things like that. But this thing is moving quickly. Before we get too deep into the trade talks, let's talk about the games that actually happened and the players that are actually on the court.
Oh, yeah.
On the teams that they are currently playing for. Wemby versus Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
Game of the year. That's what Bleacher Report said. Game of the
did
year.
Did they really?
They did.
Okay.
They did. And I said, come on, man. Of course I had to ride for the Beam team. I said, come on, man.
Yeah.
I said, double overtime. We know what Sabonis did. We know what Paolo Banchero did. He's reigning rookie of the year.
Right.
My point wasn't that game 2 nights ago was the game of the year. My point is that the hyperbole has got to stop.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Because
we don't have to do this.
No. Yeah. Your point is just, there was a better, not even saying that was the best game, but
right. What
are we talking about? There was literally a better game the night before,
exactly.
Let alone the
and
best
then,
one of the.
As they're tweeting it, you could make the argument that Nuggets Warriors
was
just a better
about
ending.
Too, as well. Yeah. I mean, you had a great night of basketball, an exciting night. You had all the stars out. You get Wemby and Giannis. You get a great, like, picture that I feel like is going to be shown for a long time of Wemby getting that block on Giannis in the final minutes.
Insane.
Though didn't really matter, but I thought it was just a really cool moment. And then, yeah, you get the Warriors game where, man, well, we're definitely going to talk some dubs today, y'all. It's not going well for them. They blew an 18-point lead with about 8 minutes to go, and then to have the reigning MVP, or I'm sorry, not reigning, the two-time MVP, last year's finals MVP, walk into the Warriors building and pretty much hit a half-court shot right in front of the Warriors bench after Steve Kerr had just told him, stop complaining,
blocking,
you're essentially better than that. Woo! Chef's kiss.
Oh,
it really doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, you slept like a baby, not going through a sleep regression, which means that you slept very, very well. So we will get into the Warriors for sure. Also going to get into the Pro Bowl and Pro Bowl snubs. We have some breakdowns. A lot of people feel like Brandon Ayuk was snubbed. So we have the comparisons of the receivers that got in before him, and we have those stats. So we will break that down and let you make the decision. He's still an alternate. I know that doesn't matter because this isn't a high school play.
Right. Well, and hopefully none of the Niners are playing.
You don't want to even be there.
Yeah.
It's just the principle. Right. I get it. I understand that. So we'll break all that down as well. And, you know, as far as the moves that are coming out, right, and Shams is talking, and Woj is talking, and all these guys are coming out. Who do you want? We can even do. I know Christmas is over, but a dream list,
a realistic
wish list for the Kings. Yeah. So we'll get into all of that as well. And look, we said we're going to talk Warriors. We have a segment here, as a lot of people have a lot to say about Coach Mike Brown, and we brought it up maybe last week or a couple weeks ago about Steve Kerr. I saw something last night that really broke down Steve Kerr's tenure with the Warriors. And I know you initially were on the side of, hey, it's more than just X's and O's.
Oh, yeah.
They're in these streets calling Steve Kerr a fraud. So we will break all that down as well. You're watching the game last night, Warriors Nuggets. And also, we'll get into the Nuggets because are we underestimating the Nuggets a little bit? Because it does. That is championship pedigree right there to just weather the storm. Right. Is it a bad – it's a bad Warriors loss, but it's also a really good
– resilient,
Nuggets win because they just stick to their game plan.
Yeah.
They stick to their game plan.
There was every reason to give up in that game, realistically, if you're the Nuggets.
I believe they already beat the Warriors twice or even maybe three times.
Yeah.
So it was, hey, you know, we already got a couple off you guys.
Right.
You can have this one. And they just said no.
Yeah, they were like, no, this we just don't feel like this one's – because, I mean, it felt like – I mean, what? It was even going into the third, the Warriors had a huge lead. And the Nuggets just kind
of – Steph is dancing.
Everything. And then, like I said, Steve Kerr is yelling at Jokic. Like, the Warriors are kind of starting to feel themselves a bit. You know, they're kind of in that transition of they've played well without Draymond. But, you know, they're still trying to kind of find their mojo. And it just all kind of evaporated right in front of their face. And you know, it was – like, that's a really bad loss to have. And the thing was, to have it on your home floor is just, again, it's the cherry on top that really makes that just a terrible, like, that's a demoralizing loss. When you're up by that much at home, and again, you're kind of going through this struggle of trying to find your identity, and then you just blow a game like that, a game that you probably had already mentally said, this is a really good win for this unit with all this talk going on around, and you see the talk that's now led from Steve Kerr not playing Kuminga in the last minutes, like, just what a sliding glass doors moment. If they just close out that game, how much are we even talking about Jonathan Kuminga being –
it's a launch pad. It would be a launch pad.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we can get rolling now.
It's great. Yeah, exactly. They would have used that as, hey, we just beat the defending champions in our house. Like, this is still a sign that we're still the Warriors. And, you know, if we give our best punch, there's not a lot of teams in this league that can take it. And all that is gone. All that's thrown out the window. Yeah, you now have Kuminga saying, coming out. I mean, we have a Shams tweet here saying literally Jonathan Kuminga has lost faith that Steve Kerr has his best development in mind.
And that, like, just dropped about 10 minutes ago.
33 minutes ago. I mean, pretty much right before the show. It's just what a colossal spiral for the Warriors right now. And allegedly Draymond Green's coming back in the facility. I saw Steve Kerr say yesterday, this is news to me. So it just doesn't feel like anything is really going well in Warrior Land.
Right now. And another thing we will discuss is not just what happened in the game last night and this morning with Jonathan Kuminga, but going in, friend of the show, Jason Dumas.
Oh,
Jason
Dumas
reported that Moses Moody and his people have said that they're not happy with what's going on. So that was before the game.
Yeah.
And Moses Moody, I still don't think played.
No, he didn't.
Right?
No.
So we're over here worried about a Sasha Vezenkov, but at the same time, obviously, I don't even know. It's actually a pretty interesting question. Who had higher expectations going into the season? Because you can make the argument – Obviously, the Kings wanted to take that next step. Warriors still believe having Steph Curry, they're always going to be a championship contender. But if you look at it, you both have championship aspirations. That's all teams do. But you try to make moves. You go out, you get CP3 if you're the Warriors. And you can sit there and say, we're not laughing. You know, some people were in my mentions because I had some things to say. Last night, I kept it cordial, but they still get upset about it. But ultimately, hey, you bandwagon Warrior fans, don't dust off those Chris Webber jerseys.
Oh, my God.
Don't dust off those Peja Stojakovic jerseys.
Nah.
We good over here. Yeah,
we've kept receipts.
We kept
on
receipts.
That, we've kept receipts.
Don't drive past Scandia thinking you're going to drive past Go Collect 200. Because it's not happening. Mm-mm. Okay? And same with you Laker fans that all of a sudden want to dust off your Vlade Divac jerseys as well. It's not going to happen. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to break down what happened with the Warriors last night, we will break down what Shams had to say about Jonathan Kuminga, what Jason Dumas had to say about Moses Moody, and what that means for a potential trade with your Sacramento Kings. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A reminder, the 49ers and Rams game this Sunday will be airing on KNCI HD2, starting with the pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25, obviously, because the Kings will be playing here on Sactown Sports.
Playing the Pelicans.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. This is the one. This is the one.
It better be. It better be.
This is the one. You got to get one, and this has to be the one as we break down what happened last night with the Warriors. So, yeah, I'm watching it. You're watching it. Warriors are up 18 with 7 minutes and 24 seconds left. And after that, it was just bizarre.
Yeah.
It was just a bizarre turn of events. You have everything that they normally do. Steph can't get an open shot. When he does, he can't make it, right? The other guys, whether it's – and that led to the Kuminga thing. So Andrew Wiggins cannot make a jump shot. Yep. He can't. He's going to get you a couple cleanups at the rim. He's going to drive when there is a smaller guy on him and back him in. But that's it. So you have that going on. And then you have the Nuggets who are just sticking to their game plan. Jokic, I mean, they were getting whatever they wanted inside the whole game, right? And then as well, you had Aaron Gordon kind of doing his thing. And that was really it. Here we go. 925. We got a 925 text. You guys sound like such salty haters, LOL. Coming from fans for a team making the playoffs and getting ran out in the first round is a loss, and questioning Kerr's legitimacy as a coach who's won and had success, but you're fixated on the Warriors. Let me tell you something, 925. Hold on now. No, I hope you're still listening because you just said it 4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We're not the ones questioning Kerr's legacy.
No.
You had Chris Watkins actually defend Kerr.
I will.
You know who's questioning his legacy? Warrior fans.
Yep.
Warrior fans, 925.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know where you're at right now, if you're in Concord or wherever it is, but it is not us. And the bottom line is this. You Warrior fans, whoever's listening, can sit on your high horse and pretend like you're living rent-free. You have Steph Curry, who is the most exciting player, in my opinion, in the league. And if he's not, he's top three. You have the most polarizing team in the league. Okay, it's not little old Sacramento talking Warriors. If you turn on the four-letter station, they're talking Warriors.
Big
if you
time.
Turn on the three-letter station, they're talking Warriors. They're polarizing.
Yeah.
Cool. Enjoy it. And I hope you did,
because
you're crumbling now, just like the cookies on the morning show.
Yeah. This is the downside of being the team of the decade.
Yeah.
Like, this is part of it. You don't get the great swell of positive media coverage. You don't get, you know, ESPN hiring 8 Warriors writers and reporters to talk about the Warriors all day. And then when they start to decline, nobody talks about it. No, that's not how it works. It's part of the story that is the Warriors, is the fall. I mean, that's
that's kind of what we do as humans. We build you up just to tear you down. Like, this is part of the game. And sorry, Warriors fans, but y'all had your run. Now it's time for everybody to kind of get the jokes off.
Who's salty? Okay, a show in the same division,
I've been salty about the Warriors the past 8 years. Right. I am not salty about the Warriors right now.
Or somebody texting in saying that you're salty when in reality you're salty because you see the end is coming. Yep. How about this? Just enjoy the ride you had. Sacramento would love to have that ride. That's what Sacramento is trying to build to. But nobody is salty here. Everybody is roasting. You were in that Spaces last night on X, okay? The Golden Spaces or whatever it is. Over 2,000 people are in there. Ooh. It was like a war zone. They want everybody gone.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not us questioning Kerr. No. It's not us.
It's a lot of infighting.
We're looking through segments to do. We got it
from
Warrior fans saying that, oh, what year was it? The first couple of years, Kerr was legitimate. He brought in that motion offense. He had the new defense. They went small ball. The next couple of years, he got carried by Kevin Durant and that super team. That's not me saying it. That's Warrior fans saying it. Y'all want him out of here.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's a big story. Yeah.
It's huge.
A team that's won 4 championships within the last decade. Yeah, that's a big story.
Huge.
With one of the 2 biggest faces in the league. It ain't about rent-free. It ain't about anybody thinking about the Warriors. Does that mean, Warriors lives rent-free in the 4-letter stations? Mind?
No. Again, no. This is how it goes. Like, if you're going to be a popular team, you're going to, like, when things are going well, you're going to get way too much attention for things going well, and we're going to talk about all this stuff, but when things are going bad, you're going to get roasted. It's just how it goes. I'm sorry. Like, and I wouldn't even say we're roasting them. Like,
we're not
at all. We're talking about we're keeping it pretty surface level.
This is what happened. Roasting isn't when you just say what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't throw the ball away last night.
No.
I didn't lose an 18-point lead with 7 minutes left. I didn't do that. We're just saying what happened. And again, we're not questioning Kerr's his whole tenure as a coach. Chris Watkins on these here airways, and if you're texting in, that means you're a pretty P1 listener.
Right.
You must have heard Chris Watkins.
He's got the number memorized.
You have the number memorized. You probably heard Chris Watkins when he said, I actually think Steve Kerr was one of the only guys that could handle KD and that super team. And we can go back and forth on it, but it doesn't matter. So nobody is questioning Steve Kerr, okay? You know what I did see? Steve Kerr's the reason that Team USA tricked off a gold medal. That's what I saw.
A lot of people say that, yeah.
That's what I saw. Yeah. I didn't sit Jonathan Kuminga for the end of the game after he had 18 points in 18 minutes.
Or something. Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Nope.
Chris didn't do that.
Nope.
Nate Littlefield, our producer, who's doing a great job, he didn't do that. All I know is this, okay? They will always talk about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Always, right?
Yep.
National media.
Yep.
They will always talk about the Lakers. They will always talk about the Celtics.
Yep.
I will say this. 925 to everybody else, all the double agents listening, enjoy it because y'all know where you came from.
Yeah.
And that's
obscurity.
New.
And complete obscurity.
And that's new money.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Y'all know where you came from. Once Steph is gone, they're not going to have a reason to talk about the Warriors anymore.
No.
So you might as well enjoy the fact that you can turn on a Sacramento station and we even care enough to talk about the Warriors because they are a national story right now. Draymond Green. Probably the most polarizing player in the sport.
Yep.
It's it.
Are we just
That's
supposed
it.
To ignore it? Like,
no,
what
yeah.
Would, like, you know, yeah.
Rent
Warriors,
free.
Warriors
free.
Just blew an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter yesterday on national television.
Yes.
And got hit with a game winner by the 2-time MVP, the defending champs, the NBA Finals MVP of last year. Yeah, and the Kings didn't play yesterday. Sorry. We're going to talk about it. Like, we just are, and you better buckle up because – it's not over.
No. I got more for you. Shams Charania. This is the tweet that we spoke about at about, what was this? About 20 minutes ago, maybe 30 minutes ago now. After sitting down in the final 18 minutes of the Nuggets loss, Warriors forward Jonathan Kuminga has lost faith in Steve Kerr and no longer believes that Kerr will allow him to reach his full potential, sources say. That's from Shams.
Alan, I don't think I've ever in my life seen a reporter post anything like that.
Before. Me neither.
Like, maybe sometimes that's in a story, but to have a just straight-up tweet saying that, I've never seen that before.
No.
I've never seen somebody just say, I would like to openly, you could put my name on it, put both names on it. I am the source, okay? Jonathan Kuminga is the source here saying, no,
well,
I don't trust.
Shams does say sources say. But that
sure.
is, well, it's clearly from.
Okay, well, like who is it?
Well, and let's not forget, last season, Jonathan Kuminga had that weird situation where I think there was an article on Yahoo and sure. He didn't say it was fake, but he said, I don't know where you guys get this stuff.
It's their agents.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Where they get it from.
And it was basically Jonathan Kuminga. It was the whole Game 7. Yeah. Remember, Steph had to have that conversation, the Game 7 drama, because Jonathan Kuminga was one of the guys. There were a couple guys in there that Steph was talking to.
Yeah.
He was talking to Kuminga, and he was talking to Jordan Poole. That's the two that I can mm-hmm. confirm. They shipped one out, yep. and Kuminga, they got him to play nice. But at the end of the day, you see Kuminga on Instagram? That boy wants a bag, okay? He's out here. He's trying to get into his bag to get a bag. He's not trying to be out here hustling like a sophomore on varsity, diving after loose balls, and you got to get some rebounds. Yeah. He doesn't want to do that. Steve Kerr came out a couple games ago and said, one, about the rotations, and two, he essentially said they need to work their way in. We talk about Coach Mike Brown treating this as a high school competition in that you got to stay on your P's and Q's. That's not the same as you got to earn your keep. We're not doing that. Everybody is getting paid.
Yeah.
That's just not going to fly. The next one, before we get to a break, we'll react to it. Jason Dumas, our friend Jason Dumas on Moses Moody. This is via 95.7 The Game. He was on Willard and Dibbs last show yesterday. The people around Moses are frustrated with the lack of a role and consistency. For lack of a better term, it feels like he's a sacrificial lamb whenever there's a logjam. He's the guy that falls out. Got too many guys.
Yeah, I mean, and that's your two best young assets or role players.
In
both
upset
about
two days,
their role.
In less than 2 days.
In less than 24 hours.
In less than 24 hours.
Things are crumbling. Like, again, like you want us to just completely ignore it and no, like this is a massive, massive story, and it's happening in real time right now.
But it's not even as if the Kings aren't involved. The Kings need somebody like Moses Moody.
Yeah.
The Kings need somebody like Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
So it's not as if we have a bunch of wings and we don't care. It all comes back. It's not arbitrary speaking.
No.
If it was a Trae Young situation, no, we don't need an undersized point guard. We got one of those, okay? So we're not talking. It's a national story, and also it's the first time the Warriors are really going to have to be a part of this trade deadline situation, which is new, right?
Yeah. And to your point as well, it ties back into the Kings as well, because both of those guys are guys that the Kings would love to have.
Exactly.
Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody are both two young assets, two young wings that the Kings could really use, especially a Jonathan Kuminga. But Moses Moody, we've seen him go off against the Kings and have moments, and then Steve Kerr benches him. We've seen those flashes, and I think that the Kings could benefit from having a guy like Moses Moody who provides what he does.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, is Steve Kerr a fraud? Let's just lean right into it. And who would you rather have, Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody? We'll discuss when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors podcast at 11 a.m. Get a little bit of a breakdown, because in all of the fun that we've been having to start the show, Pascal Siakam has also, it has also been reported that Pascal most likely will be dealt, which is a huge story as well. So we will talk to Sean Woodley about that. When did that drop? Last night? This morning?
Yeah. I think it was yesterday it dropped. But, I mean, obviously we've been talking about it for like a good calendar year now.
But it's good to know, because I didn't know. I thought maybe, oh, you got some young pieces.
Right.
I mean, I don't think the ages are that different.
Right.
Maybe you mess around and do something. But it seems like they want to start that rebuild with their guys, with Emmanuel Quickley and with RJ Barrett. Don't forget, the 49ers and Rams game this Sunday will be airing on KNCI HD2. starting with the pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25 because the Kings are going to get their get back, okay, against the Pelicans. They're going to get it done, and that will be here on Sactown Sports. So, you know, the Moody Kuminga conversation, and if you're just now joining us, long story short, it's been reported that both of them aren't happy.
Yeah.
Okay? And both camps have come out within the last 2 days to say that they aren't happy. Kuminga was playing nice until last night where he was balling, locking down Aaron Gordon, who started cooking once he came out of the game, and he couldn't get back in the game. So this morning, Shams broke that Kuminga has lost faith in Steve Kerr. I don't know how you come back from that. I just don't. That's what I'm saying.
I've never seen this before. I don't think you can.
Yeah. So I've never seen something like this normally. And we're going to have conversations about Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter being, I guess, officially made available, how that could affect the team moving forward. But that is not this. A lot of teams deal with that. This is on another level. So the question is, and you talked about it a little bit before, because Moses Moody also had some things to say, or his camp had some things to say yesterday before the game, who he's racking up DNPs like Sonic in rings, right? So he can't get on the court. So, and he balled, if I'm not mistaken. He kept the Warriors in the game. It was one of the home games against the Kings. Yeah. Moses Moody was balling.
He had
balling.
11 points, I remember. Yeah. And then Steve Kerr did what he's done. Yes. And he pulled him.
And that's the game that the Kings ended up winning.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is with Steve Kerr and these young Bulls that they do not want to give an opportunity to, or at least a consistent opportunity to. You said that you would rather have, not you would rather have, but you said definitely Kuminga to help. Yeah. I honestly might make the Kuminga has played really, he's grown.
Yeah.
I'm torn on both though, because the whole thing coming out was Moses Moody, maybe a lower ceiling, but more ready to go.
Sure.
Kuminga, higher ceiling, more of a project. That's why I'm struggling, because we know what Kuminga can do defensively, offensively. I think he's still trying to figure out who he is. I feel like on this team, and they're not, Moses Moody is only, I think, 23, 24. On this team,
21. Yeah.
He's 21, yes, and Kuminga is 21 or 20.
He's probably still 18.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like I might go Moses Moody.
I personally would rather have Kuminga. I think Kuminga makes a lot of sense. If you just plug and play him for the Harrison Barnes spot, like, I'm not really concerned about his offense. Like, his offense is really just a cherry on top. Yeah. I'm looking for him. We talk about athleticism and the Kings lacking it. I just need him to really be a freak athlete. Like, go around, protect the rim, fly around, like, just create chaos defensively. If he could play like a, I don't know if it's possible, but I imagine like a Sean Marion role for him, where it's just, again, be a lunatic on defense. Use all of your athletic gifts on the defensive end. We'll put you, you know, like we've done with Keegan, on the other team's best point guard, or you could probably put Kuminga. He's long enough, he's tall enough to put him on, you know, the Paul Georges, the Kawhis of the world. And offensively, I mean, his shot is definitely it's on the way.
Yeah, it's on the way.
Yeah. And then that's just, you know, well, maybe you can afford it a little bit more now that De'Aaron's shooting 40%.
Right.
You can't really say you have two non-shooters, because that was the big thing with the Kings rotation before was, well, you have to put such specific people with Fox and Sabonis because both of those two are non-shooters, and you can't add a third non-shooter because then it's you have more non-shooters than shooters. And if Fox is shooting at 39-40%, well, then maybe you can afford to kind of lose some of that shooting ability. And I think that there's still some stuff there. You can use Kuminga as a lob threat. The Kings really don't have one besides JaVale McGee right now. Right. Just somebody in general who's going to attack the rim. Not really anybody besides Malik and De'Aaron do that. I think Moody would be a good fit offensively, but he to me feels a little bit more of a role player, and Kuminga,
for sure,
rightfully so. I mean, just with all of the athletic gifts, you feel like there's something that could be, I don't know about special, but there's something that could be really unique in there.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Warriors, man, and how they really fumbled this situation.
It's crazy.
And now you're stuck with Draymond, because I don't see how Kuminga doesn't get moved. And not only do I not see how Kuminga doesn't get moved, I think that the leverage is out the window for the Warriors, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the locker room is now fractured, yep. okay? And now teams calling, what are the Warriors going to be able to ask for without them saying, hey, we know he wants to leave,
yeah.
right? And we know right. that you're,
it's a great point,
you have
right.
to get him out the building now yeah. because that locker room is a mess.
You got 3 years to figure it out.
Right, you got Draymond coming back, so this is all you're going to get, take it or leave it. So yeah. I don't know it, last night, I'm thinking, okay, even before all of this broke, mm-hmm. okay, what would it take to get Kuminga if he was yeah. made available? Now I'm thinking, with this leverage, I don't know who the Warriors yeah. would want back, because you don't want. I made a little trade machine yesterday. It was a little bit tongue in cheek, but the problem is they're not going to want Harrison Barnes because they're not going to want another forward.
Right.
Their problem is their logjam at forwards. So if you look at what the Warriors need, Kings can afford to get rid of Alex Len, but the yeah. Warriors could always get bigger. I don't – maybe we could finesse them into taking back JaVale. I don't know.
Sure.
But I think that's the issue with really both players, and that's why there's an issue with the Warriors. They got so many forwards that they're trying to figure out yeah. who's doing what. So that's – I think that the Kings could definitely create a package to where you're not losing anything to get Kuminga. But off the top of my head, I don't know. Do you want Kevin Huerter? Is he just coming off the bench?
I would guess maybe you could give them Davion Mitchell. Like, that's a defensive-minded point guard.
I mean, GP2's not a point guard. He's not a point guard.
And they were running out Corey Joseph for a minute. I mean, yeah. though he was like their backup. Like, even yeah. still, I think, you know, Davion was taken in the same draft as Moses Moody, so you're not really affecting your timeline at all. I'm curious what you think. I mean, you were a lot closer to the situation than any of us here. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the two timeline thing just isn't something that could work? Like, of course, hindsight is mm-hmm. always 20/20, but the Warriors probably should have just leaned into a more veteran squad, right? Like, I mean, there was always yeah. the talk of, you know, even before they actually made the Wiseman pick, mm-hmm. I think there was, I mean, of course, there was like some random Giannis rumors, but there was legitimate Bradley Beal rumors
yeah.
for that pick. Like, hindsight being 20/20, is that just the way that the Warriors should have gone? Is just leaning, forgetting about trying to do this, living in the present, but also living in the future thing, and just said, look, our window is here right now. Let's
yeah.
cash this stuff in. And maybe, who knows? I mean, you could say if they trade for Bradley Beal 3 years ago, is the Warriors' championship window still happening, you know?
Yeah, and Joe Giroux on the Sack Chat. Shout out to the Sack Chat. Don't think I've shouted them out yet.
Not Joe, though. I
don't know. Well, no, shout out Joe, too. Joe's our guy, because he said when we brought up, is Steve Kerr a fraud,
yeah.
right? Is Bob Myers a fraud?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point, because you missed with James. Now, what I struggle with, the miss with James Wiseman,
yeah.
is the same struggle. Did you miss with James Wiseman, or do you just sometimes get unlucky, right? I mean, they tried to – that
yeah.
that season, they stunk, so we got a lot of playing time,
yeah.
and it just didn't work out. I think a lot of teams that needed a big would have went with him. So
yeah.
that's why it's hard for me to say that.
Yeah.
But you have that situation. You have Kuminga. Yeah. Now, the Kuminga Moody thing
– yes, real quick. I would say that the flawed logic for Myers there is – in my opinion, especially at the top of the draft, and I said this when the Kings took Keegan and it ended up working out for the Kings, funny enough, but I don't think you should ever draft for need. Like, you should always draft best player available.
This is GM Chris,
you just
GM
never
Watkins.
Know. I mean, you just never know, like,
yeah.
for that exact reason. Like, if
but
Kings,
he was high on the list regardless.
He was,
shoot,
no,
he
definitely.
Could shoot the three ball lefty,
but,
okay, not holding it down for
you
the lefties.
You're talking just NBA, Chris?
What's that? No,
drafting,
I think, well,
for
yeah,
position.
No, in football, it's
you
definitely,
have to.
Yeah, in football, you have to think about, you know, if we have a bad offensive
because
line.
That's like, what I,
yeah.
that's where I was going, actually.
Quarterback,
because I struggle with that. With the Raiders
yeah.
and Jamarcus Russell.
Sure.
Because everybody can say that the Raiders got it wrong, but I feel like most teams in
would've.
That position
yeah.
that needed a quarterback yeah. would have drafted the Raiders or would have drafted Jamarcus
yeah.
Russell. So was it really on them? Most teams that
yeah.
needed a big man would have went with James Wiseman.
This
he
happens
highly
every
touted.
Year, all the time,
yeah.
with
so,
all these top prospects.
Yeah. So you
Marvin
take
Bagley included.
You
yeah.
take James Wiseman out, and I have a couple of these other
I
names
feel like
here.
They should have taken LaMelo Ball. I still feel like
I do too.
I know a lot of people felt like, you know, oh, you already have Steph, or you already have
like,
Clay.
There's some bad
like,
names
are they
on
be
here.
The same thing?
There's some Patrick McCaw. Now, yeah,
I mean,
granted,
that's a 31st
the team,
pick in the
right,
draft.
The team was good. Yeah. So that's why Bob Myers probably gets a pass from me. And the Kuminga Moody thing is, when you're a championship team, where are you going to get minutes, right? Yeah. So the Jordan Bells of the world, the Patrick McCaw, he had Jordan Poole. Okay,
yeah,
he had Jordan Poole. Smiley Geach, that was a miss, too,
but
39.
Yeah.
Damian Jones.
Okay. We had him here in Sacramento. Yeah.
Festus Ezeli.
Festus was a solid role player.
So I think maybe Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
Is he drafted? Is this, I don't know if this
And these
is,
are all yeah. late. These are all
late. Yeah, those
late.
Are all 30s and later. Yeah.
Eric Pascoe. Oh, that guy cracked me up, man.
He was terrible.
41st overall. These are all late picks. Harrison Barnes, right? 7th overall. So I think that Bob Myers is when I come at Bob Myers for being quote-unquote a fraud, it's not the draft per se. It's this. It's the kind of the manipulations and not even a fraud. Maybe a little overstated.
I was going to say, why has it got to be a fraud?
No, and it's not Fraud Friday or anything like that. Maybe it's just
overrated. It's okay.
It's a little overrated.
Yeah, overhyped. Or even overhyped.
A little overhyped. The moves that he made. He didn't draft Steph. Yeah. He was in the building when they drafted Clay, but he didn't draft Clay per se. So with the success that they already had when he came in. What was it really, Bob Myers sitting down KD, or was it the fact that we're rolling? You know, and he did draft Draymond Green, right? And that was another home run.
He got Iguodala into town.
He got Iguodala into town, so he escapes that. But then you could say the same thing for Steve Kerr up until these last couple seasons. They just won a championship 2 seasons ago.
Sure.
So what is he supposed to do differently? And then this past season, Draymond socks a guy.
Yeah.
Now the question is, who was okay with Draymond and the coddling of Draymond Green? Because the way it looks when we're watching live, it doesn't look like it's Steve Kerr.
No,
it looks like it's the organization maybe as a whole. So
and Mike Dunleavy's just getting a pass also. No one's bringing up Mike Dunleavy's offseason. I mean, it's all the blame right
he
now.
He just got into town.
Yeah, but like, I mean, he re-signed Draymond Green to a 4-year, $25 million contract.
What do you want him to do?
Again, that could have been the perfect. Bob Myers is gone. It feels like a perfect time to really split.
No, you don't understand. He would have been enemy number one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He has the job. You might as well, I don't know.
It's easy to say that the assumption that, hey, Draymond, we let you punch a guy and we re-signed you. Can you play nice now? There's two ways to look at it. To answer your question quickly about the two timeline thing, that was the biggest debate in the Bay. It was milk this core for whatever it's worth. You have to get everything out of Steph Curry. Trade Kuminga, trade the young guys. Trade the picks.
Right.
We don't care. Versus, hey, no, when Steph is gone, we don't want to go back to what we were before Steph. I was always in the camp of, you're not getting another Steph. Okay. The best that these young dudes are going to do is get to the second round, and you're going to have to make more moves anyway. You're going to be looking for not another Steph, but another star. I don't see any stars here, right? So, because James Wiseman didn't work out. Kuminga, I don't know that he'll be a star or not. He's still young, right? It's possible, but you don't have that core. You hit a home run, and I think somebody said on the Sack Chat about the Giants. Very similar to Posey and that core, right? You're not going to have that again, so milk it for everything that it's worth. That's where I was at, and they tried to do this hybrid. I remember Joe Lacob victory lapping after the 2022 championship. The two timelines, they were talking about, I literally read something. I still to this day, Chris, don't know what it means. Joe Lacob was talking about creating a Warriors-themed amusement park. I don't know
light
what that
years
means.
Ahead, dude. They're light years ahead.
No, they were Steph Curry ahead. Yeah. And it's the horizon. It's the end is on the horizon. Got to get to a break. When we get back, 2 key Kings players have been made available. What does it mean? How will the team react? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Locked On Raptors host Sean Woodley in the next segment at 11 o'clock to talk Raptors and to talk about the future of that team in the 666 as they take on the Kings tonight in Sacktown. The 49ers and Rams will play this Sunday, and the game will be airing on KNCI HD2. starting with the pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25 because the Kings will be beating the Pelicans on the Sactown Sports
Airways. Better be. They better be.
Are you feeling better about it? Or do you need to see I can't tell if they win tonight. Will you feel better about Sunday and the Pelicans? Or if they lose tonight, will you feel better about the Pelicans and Sunday?
I don't know if either will make me feel better. I just think I'm just going in there with no Well, I'm going to walk in there with the expectation of being disappointed so that anything else is just a positive.
I haven't checked in on the Pelicans, but I know they're not 100% healthy.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. I checked too. I mean, relatively, I mean, considering their health in the past, they kind of are. I'm seeing the injury report right now is Trey Murphy day-to-day, Matt Ryan out. But with that team, I mean, things pop up overnight. So I thought the same exact thing. I was like, what are the odds that we have played the Pelicans four times this year and they've been healthy all four times?
Yeah, that's actually...
It's insane.
The odds on that are
you want to talk about
nuts.
The Kings having injury luck last year. Well, whatever the opposite of that is
right. Injury luck for opposing teams.
Right.
Always getting the healthy team. Here's a quote from that Athletic article on Jonathan Kuminga. Quote, sometimes I come out of the game not knowing what I did, and that messes with my head. It's like what they want me to do. I can pass and I can do different bleep.
Oof.
Close quote.
See, and then this is another interesting thing to kind of put side by side with what we were talking about yesterday with Mike Brown, right? I mean, the difference in, you know, a guy like Mike Brown, and or just in terms of coaching style, Mike Brown, yes, he did do the same exact thing to Malik Monk where Malik talks about how, you know, Mike Brown admitted, I didn't properly coach you right in that moment. I sat you, but I didn't give you
the
information or didn't say anything to you. I just sat you on the bench, didn't give you a reason why. The next day, again, like we talked about, Mike Brown took the accountability to call Malik, not just, hey, pull you aside at the end of practice or in the middle of practice, called him into his office to look at him eye to eye and apologize and have a conversation. And clearly that kind of communication is not happening in Golden State, where Kuminga, flat out says it there. I just want to know what I did wrong. Like, as a competitor, as an athlete, I feel like I'm doing well. I'm Jonathan Kuminga. I'm putting up 17 points in the starting lineup now, and you're just pulling me. I need to know what to do better, especially as a young player. You're meant to be, and that's why I think the word in the Shams tweet is development, and he doesn't believe that Kerr will allow him to reach his full potential. Mm-hmm. That's him saying, I know I need to grow, but it's your job to help me grow. Lead me in the right direction, and he's not getting any direction right now. And that's
no.
That's not good for any young player. No young player is just going to be able to figure it out by themselves.
No, it was a crazy quote last night, and we were talking a little bit about Steve Kerr being a fraud, and I don't think he's a fraud, but Warriors fans want him out of here, right?
That's crazy.
So last night he was
that's
asked,
insane.
But but he could not be a fraud, and you still want him out of here.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that it's okay to acknowledge, hey, it might be time, again, for a shifting of eras. Mm-hmm. But to say that this guy doesn't know what he's doing, full stop, period, get him out.
No, They feel
that's
like
insane.
They feel like the Warriors could have won more if not for Steve Kerr. I'm just saying.
It's not me saying it. It's insane.
So this was a crazy quote last night, and I'm paraphrasing here, from Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Because he was asked, as you are saying, hey, do we know why Kuminga sat in Kuminga? And again, saying it to the media isn't the same as, hey, let me sit you down. This was post-game, so maybe he didn't have time. I don't know. But Steve Kerr was asked about why he didn't put Kuminga back in. He essentially said, well, because it's either Kuminga or Wiggins. That's the logjam. Yeah. Well, Wiggins was playing really well, and we were up by 18. And by the time, essentially, the wheels started to fall off, I had sat Kuminga for too long.
Okay.
And he got destroyed.
Well, that doesn't make any... That's not a good excuse.
He got destroyed. So that
was already rolling, so...
So you have Coach Mike Brown. And look, we get it. Coach Kerr, champion, time and time again.
Yeah.
But you have Coach Mike Brown going to Malik Monk and saying, hey, we need you to... This is what happened, blah, 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 blah. Let's move forward. And you have Coach Kerr saying, random statements to the media, who I would give kudos to, you know, Warriors media as well, because they're saying, hey, man.
They're asking tough questions.
Yeah, you can't just weasel your way out of this anymore. You got to give legit answers. And then it gets a little bit awkward when he says that. You can't say, well, that makes no sense,
yeah, right.
Coach. Hey, Coach, Alan Sauce, Sacktown Sports.
So when things are going bad, you're just going to keep who's responsible for it going bad? You're just going to keep them out there because they put you in that situation?
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
You don't want to switch it up maybe if things aren't going
Nah, let's just keep rocking and rolling. All right, let's get to the locker room out here in Sacramento, as it has been reported that the Kings have made Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter available. I don't know if it's going to affect the locker room or not. I don't know how people are going to react. I think the writing was on the wall, but when something leaks like this, you're Kevin Huerter on social media or Harrison Barnes getting ready to do your taxes, and you check this, right? You have to be thinking, okay,
He's definitely got a good tax guy.
Oh, he definitely does. Yeah, yeah. He does not.
Hey, Rook, come here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Come tax season. Come around my.
You know,
my
and you locker. Know what? He doesn't do the new apps things. He still does it with
no
somebody.
TurboTax. There's no way.
No. I got to get it done by my guy. Yeah. I got a guy. He'll take care of you. You bring your W-2, and we'll get it taken care of. So you wake up, you see this report. I'm sure Harrison Barnes figured.
Ultimate professional, man.
Yes. Kevin Huerter, recently benched, figures, okay, maybe my time has come. You walk into the building today. If you are a leader, if you're a Sabonis, if you're De'Aaron Fox, do you say anything?
No.
It's just business as usual.
Yeah. No, it's a business. There's rumors are going to happen. It's a part of it. You got to ignore it. Like, as crazy as it is, as impossible as it might seem, like, I really don't think, especially a guy like Harrison Barnes, he's not on socials. I mean, I'm sure he, you know, because it does you no good. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to look at Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, if they were looking at Twitter and, you know, Jake Fisher articles all the time, they would have thought that they would have been moved a year and a half ago. So, as a professional athlete, you just got to kind of put your head down and say, well, I got to keep playing until they tell me to go anywhere else. So I might as well, you know, try and keep my career going because, you know, the worst thing that could happen is you see those rumors and you put you sulk a little bit and then you don't end up getting traded at all. And then you just end up being a bad player for the team that you're already on and you get buried further and further on the bench. So you just got to put your head down and not acknowledge it, really.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Sean Woodley of the Locked On Raptors podcast joins us to talk Raptors, to talk Pascal Siakam. Is he coming to Sacramento? Sauce and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.